All right. So, thank you, Art. So a number of you might have noticed that the presentations here are fairly peer-to-peer heavy as opposed to crypto heavy. So now we have a rather straightforwardly just crypto project, specifically encrypted email, which is crypto mail. So presenting on that will be Josh Teitelbaum and Peter Leung. And as soon as they get this plugged in. Ah, okay, and here they are.
My name is, who am I? I'm Joshua Teitelbaum, and I'm going to be talking to you about CryptoMail. CryptoMail is a project that I began in 1999. Its original incarnation was a end-to-end encrypted email product that talked to an IMAP server. But it's changed. So here's the introduction. This is a gratuitous PowerPoint presentation. So if you go into convulsions, I'm sorry. Okay, first let's talk about the problems. Then we'll talk about CryptoMail's missions and objectives. We'll give a little program demonstration. Then we're gonna talk about the algorithms and protocols. And we're gonna talk about the client and the server platform. And hopefully we'll get to talk about the future directions of CryptoMail. And then maybe we'll have some questions and answers. Okay, why is encrypted email important? Well, you know, I'm not preaching to the choir here, okay? You guys are popes and archbishops in here, so we don't really have to talk about this too much. But basically, in a nutshell, it protects privacy and assets, and I just think it's cool. Okay. You know, I mean, seriously, it's so, when I first got into it, you know, I got Schneer's book, AC, and, you know, I mean, I felt like a kid again, you know, when with your first two walkie-talkies. You remember that? It's like, you know, you could, like, hear the other kid, you know, and no one else knew what you were talking about, you know, in your own little world. Well, that's the kind of feeling I get from crypto. I feel like a kid with a pair of walkie-talkies I just got from Toys R Us. Okay. So how do we get people to use encrypted email? I like to call this the grandma problem, okay? Grandma has got to use it. I think everyone should be using cryptography transparently. It shouldn't be clunky, and basically all communications should be secure unless otherwise specified. Okay, so encrypted email should basically be migratory. You should be able to go to Kinko's if you so choose, and still keep your email secure. There should be a zero install client tactic, so you should use any means necessary to ensure that you don't have to mess with the registry or do any kind of system administration. You know, again, the clunkiness, manage users' keys. It should be accessible and open source platform. You know, because you guys are going to be able to pick apart this and tell me whether this is secure or not. So we have to have, I mean, all cryptographic products, we know this now, have to have an open platform at the least in order to ensure any kind of security. It has to be transparent to the user, and we need a nice ubiquitous user interface, you know, like Outlook or something, I don't know. Mission. Promote the freedom of private communications, okay? That's what CryptoMail is all about, you know? These guys, PRZ and Kalas and all you other crypto people, you set the stage for this. And now what CryptoMail is trying to do is it's doing some of the same things you were doing in a more public format. Okay, so the in terms of users. And what are the technical objectives? Again, it's security at the transport level, and we want end-to-end message security. Okay, so this is what I'm gonna do during the demonstration. All these things. I'm gonna create an account, you know, log in, send mail, receive mail, what have you. Okay, let's talk about some of the algorithms and protocols and techniques. Okay. I use asymmetric ElGamal encryption to do key exchange and basically a PGP-like message format. And I use symmetric encryption for the actual symmetric cipher inside the message and in the transport layer. The protocols, you know, I've been called pedantic, and this, I'm going to say it, now no one laugh or chuckle here, sex map. Okay, secure XML message access protocol. Okay, and then I have XMAP. You know, I was at the dinner table last night, and some guy said, he said map. I was nearly in tears. That was really funny. I think his name was Levine. Okay. Okay, so what is SexMap? SexMap is Secure XML Message Access Protocol. And here's the place that you guys can go in order to find it. So if you have a chance, please, all you dining cryptographers out there, could you help me take a look at this? Okay. So it's under document protocol underscore specifications.html. It's all on the website. Everything you see here is accessible via the website. www.cryptomail.org. Someone got cryptomail.com, but this is not a .com venture. Okay. What is SexMap? It is secure session. We're going to talk about the secure session initialization. So get out your barf bag. We're getting into the protocols. Okay. So the first thing we do is ask for the user's name. Okay, so you go to the website and you get a form with the login name. So you submit the form via HTTPS. Okay, so you're using SSL and you know you're passing certs around and you're basically saying that this is gonna be secure. If the user doesn't exist, then you know get out of town. Just throw up a little message box or you know, show an error page. Now, if the user does exist, then the server's job then is to generate an ElGamal public and private key pair. It then stores that in the database. And then the server also stores a 16-byte session token that uniquely identifies your session. Then the server generates a 16-byte session cloak. Okay, we're gonna go over what that is shortly. Then the server generates a 16-byte random blowfish key. This is what we're going to call the cloak key. So what do we have now? We've got an ElGamal public and private key pair in the database. We've got the session. We've got something that we're going to call the cloak. And then we've got the cloak key. Okay. Now, the server passes the client via HTTPS. The applet and the parameter. So we've got the public key, the session token, the session cloak, and the session cloak key. Okay. Now, the applet then reads the parameters, and then the applet creates a random 16-byte session key. So now the applet is saying, okay, I want to choose the key. Okay, server, that it's got an ElGamal public key from the server. Now, the client wants to begin a transport level, a secure transport level session. So it thinks up a key. Okay, so it thinks up a blowfish key, and it encrypts this session key with the public key. Okay, then the applet passes this courier new, XML string, blowfish, encrypted key in hex, you know, encrypted key in hex. Then the applet CBC Blowfish encrypts the session cloak with a cloak key. Now, this is what's happening. Since this cloak thing, you may be wondering what this is. This basically ensures that the server knows who it is talking to. So the server generated a cloak and a cloak key, okay? And what did it pass to the client via HTTPS? It passed the cloak and the cloak key. So now the client, whenever it wants to talk to the server, any message it sends, it's going to encrypt with the cloak key the session cloak, okay? And it puts the result of that in the HTTP header. Now, like I said, the applet constructs the HTTP header. It has the session token and the CBC Blowfish encrypted session cloak. Now, the server looks up the session token, and if it can't find the session token, WTF, what is going on here? What are you doing? Okay, and then the server looks up the session cloak. Okay, so it has a session. So let's say the session is valid. It goes to the database and it gets the session cloak and the session cloak key. Now, what does the client just sent it? The client has just sent the session cloak encrypted with the cloak key. Now, the server decrypts the encrypted session cloak. And it doesn't compare on the session cloaks. If they're not the same, this is not the same client. If they are the same, then the server looks up the session private key, okay, and the server Elgamal decrypts the Blowfish key with the session private key. So what have we done here? All this rigmarole is just allowing the client to give the server the wire or the session level symmetric cipher key. Okay, now some of you may be asking, why the hell did I go through all this? I don't know. I mean, it would have been, since I was using HTTPS to parameterize the applet, would it have been just as easy for me to pass, have the server determine what the session layer symmetric key is? Absolutely. And in retrospect, that's not such a bad idea. But I want it to be different. I wanted the client to be dictating more of what's going on. I'm not really interested in having the server to know that. So anyway. Okay, so now what happens when the server gets this symmetric key and they've negotiated it? Basically, the server sends the message with this encrypted via CBC Blowfish, I kiss you. Now, does anyone remember, the Internet Hall of Fame page, Maher's page? Yeah, okay. So there was a website, and, there was, a picture of this Greek or something guy, and with, sunglasses, on his car like this, acting all cool, and it says, I kiss you. So basically, this was back in 1999, you'll have to excuse me, when I was just developing this and trying to have fun too, because this is my project and I wanted to have fun, so I was taking common cultural iconography and putting it into sex map. Okay, so so basically the server sends the CBC Blowfish encrypted message, I kiss you. Then the server decrypts the message from the server. The client CBC decrypts the Blowfish message from the server. I kiss you, and if it does equal I kiss you, then everything's hunky dory. If not, you have serious problems. Okay, so that's secure session initialization. At this point, the client and the server have negotiated a symmetric cipher. Via CBC Blowfish. We're going to do all the symmetric cipher stuff via CBC Blowfish. And everyone knows the advantage of using CBC. It's much better than ECB because ECB encrypts to the same thing with the same input parameters. But when you do a CBC, you use something called initialization vector, and that's used to XOR the results, and the IV is encrypted via ECB mode, but it basically turns the encryption of the same thing into different ciphertext. Okay, so logging into the CryptoMail server, we've got the session established. Okay, now the applet requests a passphrase, okay? And so basically you type in your passphrase, PRZ is God or something like that. It's not my passphrase, it really should be. Okay, but now the applet applies the SHA-1 algorithm to the passphrase and keeps half. Okay, so we've got SHA-1 of the passphrase, and then we're going to just keep half around, okay? Then the applet constructs the following login message, okay? It's got login, half the hash of the passphrase, and then with half the hash of the passphrase. Okay, now the applet constructs the cloak header. Again, that's the session cloak encrypted with the session cloak key. Stick that in the header. Now you've got the session token as well. Okay, then the applet CBC encrypts that login message. And then the applet sends to the server this message, CBC encrypted. Okay, now the server is going to check the response. It decrypts it, and it basically does a quick check on your session at the session layer. Okay, and what happens is the server will compare half the hash of your passphrase with the one that's stored in the database, because when you go through account creation, you store your public key, your encrypted private key, and half the hash of your passphrase. But half the hash of the passphrase is actually encrypted. So, we'll not worry about if half the hash of the passphrase is encrypted or not, but we'll just call it half the hash of the passphrase. Okay, so the server checks the response, and basically it's going to send the following message. So it basically checks half the hash of the passphrase with the one that you've sent, and if it's the same, it sends you this message. So it gives you the encrypted hash of your private key, and it gives you your encrypted private key and your public key. Okay, now if you sent the wrong half of the hash of the passphrase, it sends I slap you. Okay, I needed something symmetric to I kiss you. So there you have it. Now, so if there's an error, then you go back to the secure session initialization. Okay, the whole process coming back to the secure session stuff starts over again. Now, the applet CBC Blowfish decrypts the private key with the passphrase. Okay, so what have you got here? You've got your private key encrypted with the entirety of your passphrase. Okay, so now the applet decrypts your private key with the entirety of your passphrase. Okay, and the applet CBC Blowfish decrypts half the hash of your private key with the full passphrase. Okay, then the applet performs a SHA-1 hash on the private key, and it then compares it to the decrypted hash. I think this is what, like a MAC or something. That's a technical term storing the encrypted hash of an object. Okay, that's a message. I think it's equivalent to the technical term is a message authentication code. Okay. Then if the decrypted hash and the live hash are not the same, again, the live hash is the hash of the passphrase, your half of the private encrypted private key decrypted. Okay. So now, how do you create, what does the CryptoMail server store? Okay. So the applet creates a 1024-bit ElGamal public and private key pair. Then the user chooses a passphrase, and the applet CBC Blowfish encrypts the private key with the passphrase. then the applet saves half of the SHA-1 of the passphrase. Then the applet CBC blowfish encrypts the SHA-1 of the private key with the passphrase. Okay, then the applet sends the new account message. So what do we got here? We've got the public key of the client, the encrypted private key, now that's encrypted with the entirety of the passphrase, and we have half the hash of the passphrase used for authentication, and we've got the encrypted hash of the private key. That's for checking to make sure that what the server tells you is your private key is in fact your private key. Okay, so basically the applet does previous steps 12 and 13 of secure session initialization. 12 and 13 of secure session initialization is to set up the cloak and cloak, is the cloak stuff. The client encrypts the cloak with the cloak key that was passed to it. Then the applet CBC blowfish encrypts the new account message with the session blowfish key that it negotiated. And the server is going to send back one of the two things. It's going to send back, I kiss you, a la Maher, or I slap you, anti-Maher. Okay, in short, an XMAP, okay, now we're going to get into XMAP. Okay, that's all the crypto gunk. You guys are hurling already. So now we're going to talk about some of the other technologies. Even though the crypto is real interesting, I took it upon myself to rewrite a way for a client to talk to a server to retrieve messages. You know, how many times has this been done? Okay, it's been done through IMAP, that's Internet Message Access Protocol, and then there's POP, which is Post Office Protocol, and there's all kinds of others. And one of the reasons why I developed XMAP is because I'm really, really lazy, okay? I just want to do things through XML because there are these wonderful XML message-based parsers out there that do a hell of a lot of work for me. So I just cooked up a way to use XML in order to do basic directory traversal and messaging, message access and stuff like that. Okay, so if you're really, really interested in XMAP, which is, in terms of XML and its properness, it's not very proper, okay? I'll be the first to admit, it's a little asymmetric in the way I implemented things. And the reason for that is because I don't want to increase the message size by making the actual messages base64 and XML compliant inside there. So I basically, whenever I need to just insert bits into XML, I just use the end, okay, to just kind of just attach it. So it's in that sense, it's not XML, it's not pure XML. Okay, now the client platform is a Java applet, okay? This is in conformance to what CryptoMail's main objective is. It's to basically go anywhere and have a nice interactive way to do encrypted email. Okay, it's not, you know, webmail. It tries to pretend like it's an application. Okay, Java's a little lacking in some of that respects in terms of behavior of a real application, you know, like object linking, embedding, and stuff like that. But hopefully those issues will be resolved in the near future. Okay, so all messages are encrypted in the client applet. Okay, basically the applet is signed, so we forward the users the capability to send attachments. It uses HTTP POST. Now this is broken in the old Apple MRJ, so I wrote my own URL poster for Mac OS 9. I don't know if you guys know this, but Hushmail did not support Mac OS. So I thought it was important to reach out to these people to try and do my best, okay, and work around some of the deficiencies and just grin and bear it and just hack together my own URL getter and poster. Okay, So it works in any Java-enabled browser, except for OS X. Someone was showing me this today, and it just chirps. Okay, so it chirps on OS X, but it works relatively well in Netscape 4.7 yada and IE5 yada, and it does work on Linux. It does work on Windows, and it does work on OS 9 Java. Okay, and I might be floating my own boat, but I think it's got a nice ubiquitous user interface. Okay. Now, as far as the back end, it's got a MySQL 3.2.3 plus compliant data storage mechanism. The database stuff has. I have my own Notion of inodes and my own basic file system and directory system, all running through a database. It doesn't use the local file system other than what's in the, what the database uses. So, I thought, for IMAP and stuff like that, not necessarily. I mean, you could write adapters. But, out of the box, when I was working with IMAP, very long ago, there was no open source database adapter. Although there, if I probably looked hard enough, there would have been. Okay. It uses any web-based web server that does out-of-proc CGI. You guys are hurling. I know, out-of-proc CGI. That sucks, okay? I'm forking another process. This is not the right thing to do. This is a reference implementation, and this is what you get. what I really want to do is write an Apache mod, because I like Apache mods. It runs in proc, as long as you don't chuckle the web server, which I tend to do. In the first revs of my code. Okay, now the session encryption engine on the back end uses GNU Privacy Guard. Now, one of the problems I had with GNU Privacy Guard is that it does not lend itself well to library compartmentalization. It's very, very difficult to take this fucking code and put it into your application, okay? Kids, don't try this at home. It's not very amenable to that. And all the libraries out there that try to do this just fork, okay? So they build these libraries that are shims around popen, basically. Okay, use AscendMail as the mail transfer agent. And I don't know, you guys are into databases. This is kind of a gratuitous, kind of schema look. So we've got, I've got sessions, I've got the user base, I've got the CM data table. That's where you're actually storing your data, and your CM user directories. Okay, so where does CryptoMail want to go? Okay, we want to go to OpenPGP. Okay, we want to be open. Okay, I did this in basically Josh speak, the sex map, bullshit, and the XMAP stuff, and then. All the message encapsulation and stuff like that by myself, because, I don't know, in some respects it's just easier to just write something that's basically your own. It gets it done with a modicum of security. Supporting OpenPGP is definitely in the future. Okay, and in the future we're going to have ActiveX control, hopefully, because the Java client, yes. Okay, demo, I'm sorry. Okay, demo. Okay, PKI solutions, can we link servers? Okay, question answer, not yet, hold on. I gotta show you the money shots. Sorry, typing nervously. What? What happened? Oh, no, Nettie. Hold on. Please? I do to deserve that? Well, that's... this is Windows 2000. I suck. I am so sorry. Let me just look at this, see what kind of proper ties I have here. TCP/IP. Come on, work! Someone else is doing DHCP, right? That's what Jamie was saying? Is someone, like, screwing me? Okay, am I getting something? I'm really sorry. This is really embarrassing. Does anyone have net access? Oh! No applause necessary. Okay, I'm going to create an account. I'm going to be a new user. I'm going to be Shmoo. Okay, the CryptoMail site has got lots and lots of poison, so take your anti-venom. Oh, internal error. Okay. What? Okay, here's more poison you have to swallow, okay? Okay, grandma can scratch, right? Grandma knows how to scratch. Grandma knows how to go to the website and then scratch. Okay. PRZISGOD. PRZISGOD. PRZ is... Okay. Okay, I got my little BSD spinner. Okay. Now, what was that? What was my login name? No, it wasn't Shmoo. What? Login. Accept more poison. PRZISGOD. Okay, here's the applet in action, Jackson. So we've got... thank you so much. Okay, for my next stupid pet trick, I'm going to send a mail to P. Leung, my partner in not crime. Yes, this is end-to-end message secure, so he does require an account. So, P. Leung, what am I going to say to him? I suck. The net was not connected. Do you want me to send an attachment to him? Why not? Okay, so I guess I'll send him. You guys won't be able to see any porn. Sorry, I don't have that on this computer. Okay, where is that? Net was not connected. Have an attachment. Okay, then I'm writing to the server. And hopefully he's going to send a message. Are you going to send a message to me? To what, Peter? W-H-A-T? So we're going to look at my sent items. Now, I do encrypt the sent items. And, you know, if you guys are into gratuitous tricks, I basically, if you push this button, you can see what I sent. Or actually, this is not what I sent, but... this is how it's encrypted to me. You can look at some of the MIME extension stuff I have in there. I've got the version. I've got the CryptoMail session key. And this is what the text looks like in there. So, Peter, are you out there?
Yeah.
Did you send a message to what?
No, I tried to get in.
Okay. How about if I just send a message to myself in the meantime? Okay, here's a message that I'm going to send to what I'm going to get on there. Oh, my God. Okay, this is a message I sent to myself, okay, and I've got more pedantic stuff in here where I could be liberal. I was. So this is the message encrypted. Now, so we've gone through account creation and account login. Why don't we just send mail to someone outside the network and see what it says? Okay. Okay. The first thing it whines about profusely is that it can't get the public key of the intended recipient. That's good. It's supposed to be secure and let you know that. Then basically throws it in your face again. So, and then it allows you to just continue. And that's what, oh my God, Peter, what are you talking about? I got your message. All right. Peter, thank you so much. All right. So, this is basically it. Now, you can do lots of cool things. It's got a nice little splitter bar here. You can go on your sent items. You got a trash. How about if I create a new folder? Yes, we're going to open the floor to questions. Okay, we're going to open the floor to questions.
I'm guessing that the complicated protocol that the applet goes through is designed to set it up so that you can securely store your private key on the server without the server being able to read any of your mail.
Absolutely. That was one of the parts of the design. Basically, you're just using the server as a way to store your messages. And if anyone pinched the server, they could not get previously encrypted messages. Now, if they pinched the box, what they could do is they could do evil things like change the applet and get further, and they could compromise the system that way. But they would have to pinch the box in order to get subsequent messages. But previously encrypted messages would, without capturing the private key of the user through a malicious applet, would be encrypted securely, relatively. Yes?
They can't even change the applet if you don't keep the key you signed your applet with on the box.
Yes.
But the other thing I think is, I actually think that if you were to generate your Blowfish key on the server,
yes,
you could have a little more assurance that you, due to bugs in the random number generator on the client side, you weren't getting weak keys. So it might actually be better for you to do it on the server,
yes,
where you trust it, because the clients, you don't know what's really going on with the JVM.
Absolutely. I mean, I do this rigmarole, which is basically a lot of work just to do the secure session initialization, and when in fact the server could be determining with a random Blowfish key. And you're absolutely right. Yes.
The problem with generating a lot of random content on the server is, well, if you're generating keys on the server that people are encrypting to, then a penetration of the server goes ahead and penetrates every single session that comes down. Although, I mean, in the end, since the applet's coming from the server, any penetration will do that.
Right.
But your GUI is very impressive and very useful. With respect to the crypto that you're using, looking at it, it seems like you've tried to re-implement stuff from SSL and whatnot. It looks like you do mutual authentication for actually getting access to the private key. So the private key is encrypted on... Tell me if I'm correct
here. Yes, everything you said is correct.
Private key is encrypted on the server.
Yes.
And anybody could theoretically go ahead and download the private key from the server, but they can't because somebody has to first know some amount about the passphrase to even get access to the private key encrypted. And then once they prove to the server they have the right to get access... Well, then they, on their client, go ahead, decrypt their own private key to decrypt their messages.
Yes.
Am I accurate here?
Yes. The private key is, in fact, encrypted with the entirety of the user's passphrase. So it would take the entirety of the passphrase to decrypt the private key. Yes.
How do you handle the authentication of the public key that you're encrypting to?
Excuse me?
The authentication of the public key that you're encrypting to. How do you know that this is their public key and it's not?
Okay, well, the in terms of there's two public keys. Okay, there's the user's public key, or you're talking about secure session initialization. Okay, the user's public key. Well, right. This the session stuff is runs over HTTP and not HTTPS. Basically, I do a request to the server. Well, since the server theoretically only knows how to decrypt my session, and it knows the only knows the session key, I'm going to be trusting the server because it is the key store. So I have to trust the key store, basically. So it's the security of the key store.
I guess I have a kind of follow-up question. I'm right here.
Oh, there you are.
About the key store.
Yes.
Is the key store global, or is the key store for each? And do I keep my own key store of public keys?
No, it's right now it's a, it functions as like an end-to-end encryption model. So people that are in the system have their public key in there. There's no so that's so if you have to be a CryptoMail user in order to leverage this.
But any CryptoMail user is automatically accessible, or
yes,
only my friends?
That is accurate. Yes, yes. Basically, you're using the global key ring of the system. Yes,
okay.
of the user space.
If you change the perspective to the other alternative, why you might solve the question that was raised earlier, as well as making it interesting to a different class of people that don't particularly want to be addressed by everyone in the world.
Yes, and one of the ways that we can address that is through OpenPGP support, basically where we have a notion of key rings, and we're using PGP in order to basically store, you know, to encrypt to. But you're absolutely right. I mean, it could even be implemented with a different space within the CryptoMail system, so that people could selectively choose whether their key was public or private or not. Absolutely.
Okay, I think we're going to do two more questions.
I just want to ask you to speculate a bit. If you got hold of the server yourself, and you are to save the Earth if you compromise it, how long would it take you?
I'm sorry, could you please...
You got to hold of the server yourself.
Okay, someone pinched the box, yes.
Yeah, and you need to save the Earth. How long is it going to take you to compromise it?
And what?
In order to save the Earth, you have to compromise the server. Okay. In order to save the Earth, you have to compromise the server.
In order to save the Earth, you have to compromise the server.
Oh, how long?
How long would it take?
In order to compromise this server... Oh, you know, I don't know. This forum is all about for me to just throw the protocol out there. There are some weaknesses in the protocol. Now, you know, cryptography has this great notion of a full disclosure, and my protocol is not immune to a certain kind of attack called the replay attack, because the message format that I use to communicate with the client server doesn't have anything unique per message. So someone could say, oh, delete message one, and then delete message one again may in fact happen. So, okay, but that's one weakness. But yes, I'm sure there are other weaknesses that could be pointed out in the near future. But if I had to save the world, basically what you want to do, okay, is you want to pinch the box, and then you want to replace the applet with the evil applet, okay, but then you have the code signing thing. But let's say you could get past that. You would basically want to replace the applet with the evil applet that could sniff the passphrase, and that's that. Yes.
Okay. Just one more thing is in your goal was to be able to read email everywhere, and the one place that you actually fail is when you don't have network access. And it's nice to actually be able to have a local store of email and be able to read it offline. So I don't know if that's something that's easy for you to address with what you've built, but
well,
it's a nice feature.
Yes, the applet is signed, hopefully. And hopefully it will be promoted to have enough privileges to do something like that. So you're absolutely right. That was one of the suggestions. I've heard that suggestion before, so that they could, so people could load messages from disk, from a floppy disk, or save their or save people's keys or load keys from a disk. So yes, so noted. Thank you very much. Thanks.